I try not to be a salesman. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, right.
I'm not that. It's not high pressure. I assume if you come to me, you want my service.
Right.
But my first question is, how can I help?
Yeah.
And I help. I find out where that person's pain is, and yeah. I help them find a solution.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I was given the piece of advice by a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He said, go into every sale looking to make a friend.
Yeah.
And I found that approach. When I go in, no stress, I'm going to go make a new friend. It goes so smooth. I either get the sale or can point them in the right direction. Because if I'm not the right fit,
yeah,
I'll send somebody somewhere else.
All right, cool. We're good to go. Thanks for joining me, Charles.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
100%, dude. I think we first got acquainted when I did the fatherhood podcast there for a second. And then life happened and freaking running two podcasts was insane. But that's really cool. Tell me a little bit about what you got going on. I know you have your gym and everything.
Yeah. So what we've got going on is I own Changes Health and Fitness. And what we do is personal training and nutrition coaching. But the difference is we work with couples, we work with families, and we try to find what works best for each individual person or family.
Yeah.
It's not one size fits all. It's what's your goal, not what's my goal for you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I do remember that. You had like a Father Sunday.
Yep, we did.
Like a little sale going on for like, do a lot of fathers and sons do that together?
So we have some. We have one guy and him and his son, he sees me 4 days a week, but he brings his son most Fridays.
Yeah.
And it's really cool because his son's like 12 and he's like starting to work out and starting to get into it. It's a lot of fun. It really is.
Dude, that's cool.
And then my son, he's 18 months old and he runs around the gym and it's so funny. We had a photo shoot a couple weeks ago. And as soon as my son saw the photographer, he grabbed a 5-pound kettlebell, ran in front of the photographer, and then did like a little deadlift and started laughing. He can't even talk, but he knows how to deadlift.
Dude, that's hilarious. That's awesome, dude. Holy cow. And okay, so there's a lot to kind of break down with like health and nutrition, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
a lot of I don't know, like what do you call it? Like maybe misinformation or stuff about nutrition, about what you should be eating and all that stuff. I mean, where do you kind of start with nutrition on someone's journey?
I think one of the main issues that's out there is information overload.
Ooh, that's a good point.
There's so much information. And while there are certain universal truths, like if you're in a caloric deficit, you will lose weight. If you're in a caloric surplus, you will gain weight. There are these universal truths.
Yeah.
But there's also what works for the individual.
Yeah.
Like for me, I do really well with high protein, high carb, lower fat. A lot of the female clients I've worked with do better with higher protein, higher fat, lower carb. Mm. And when I work with people, we don't ever take out an entire food group unless there's like an allergy.
Yeah.
But it's finding what works for the individual body.
Yeah, because it is really like I've talked with a lot of people who are kind of moving more towards or not moving more towards they're in. And then it feels like the culture is moving more towards like almost like intuitive kind of like nutrition.
Mm-hmm. And intuitive eating. Yeah, intuitive eating is really fantastic. I actually have a client that's a therapist.
Yeah.
And she was talking more to me about like she's going to bring me the packets next week when I see her. And I'm really excited because it's what they would give somebody struggling with an eating disorder, whether it's anorexia or binge eating, and how they incorporate intuitive eating from a therapeutic standpoint. So
that's
going to be new to me, but I feel like that'll be really, really a cool asset to have.
Yeah, because everybody is different, right? And like everybody kind of does and that's kind of, by the way, like the essence of, you know, what I do in my life, which is sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you've got to just pinpoint things that work for people, because it might work for this person, but it definitely won't work for her or him or whoever, right?
Absolutely.
And it's kind of wild there.
Yeah, like I do a variety of things. And you know, my wife also does nutrition with a few people, and some of our clients respond really well to meal plans, eating the same thing every day. Like I used to be into bodybuilding. That was my routine. It was ground turkey and rice for every meal. And I functioned really well with that for a long time. But for most people, that's just not sustainable. You know, for some people, having that bag of microwave popcorn in the afternoon keeps them on track with everything else. And it's finding a way to work their favorite food in, like having that one thing instead of this restrict mentality. Yeah. And then saying screw it, and then just eating everything inside and starting over again, because the restrict binge cycle is so common.
Yeah.
We really try to prevent that.
What's the best way to prevent that?
To include things you like, to not make anything off limits, but to be aware of what you're eating.
Yeah.
You know, like we always go and get frozen yogurt on Fridays, Friday nights, me, my wife, and my son. And I put all the toppings. I don't like put a little fruit. Like I put M&Ms and Oreos because yeah. I enjoy that, but I don't eat that every single day.
Yeah.
It's like, it's part of my routine. I look forward to it. And then I plan my day around it. I'm like, okay, this is going to be an extra 600 or 700 calories. Okay. I'm going to lower my carbs during my other meals
yeah.
instead of just like not eating all day or just adding it on top of everything else. You know, I do a little bit of math. And what's nice for my clients is they don't have to do all the calculations. I do that for them. Like I have a lot of professional people that will text me and say, hey, we're going to a work lunch at this restaurant. What on this menu would be a good alternative? You know, and it's because it's quality of life. It's what's realistic. It's what's sustainable.
Yeah, for real. I like that idea too, because I've gotten caught up in that, like where you try to restrict so much and then it just becomes like, you know, you hit that downward spiral of like, ah, dude, screw this. Like, I'm exactly. not doing this anymore. And I think what I enjoyed there was I follow a guy. I like following him because his style of comedy is my favorite. He's a nutritionist. And so I like that, but I mainly followed him for like his style of comedy. But one of the things that he said one time was like, people like the dose, like dosages, right? Mm-hmm. Like the amount of something that when it becomes bad for you, because everybody's kind of on this kick with they get on these kicks with foods that are bad for you and, or like ingredients that are bad for you, but they never talk about like how much of that thing you would need to have for it to actually be bad negative. For you. Yep. Yeah. You're like, okay, yeah, it's bad for you at this dose, but it doesn't really make a difference at this dose. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. A big one is like Diet Coke, right? Like aspartame.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's bad for you or it's good for you. I don't know. Or it's not either.
Well, it's one
like,
of those things where in excess, and that's how it is.
That's exactly the dose, things, right? Yeah.
Like exactly the dosage. If you're drinking Diet Coke all day and not drinking water, that's a problem. But if you have a Diet Coke 2-3 times a week, I personally don't believe yeah. it's going to cause any cancer or anything else. I've seen the research and it, with most things, it's high concentrations of anything that leads to long-term damage.
Yeah. And all of that kind of stuff is just, I mean, leave it to the like the doctors anyway, or whoever. Exactly. You're just like, bro, look, everybody, you're going to die eventually. We all got to, we're all taking time off.
No, it's true. We are all going to die. And you have to pick your battles. You have to choose, like for me, I like Diet Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
I'll have one once in a while.
Yeah.
And I don't feel guilty about it. But then there's other alternatives, like lasagna is a food that we really like. But lasagna is super high in fat, super high in calories. And like most pasta dishes, you don't want one serving. You want six or seven. Like, because it's good and it doesn't fill you right away.
Yeah.
So my wife, she took her knowledge of nutrition from the courses she's taken. And then she loves cooking.
Yeah.
She watches all the cooking shows, reads the books, like experiments with recipes. So she made a lasagna that's high protein, lower fat, lower carb. But, you know, it's still regular pasta noodles. But instead of ricotta cheese, we're using cottage cheese. We're doing and on top, half fat free cheese, half regular.
Yeah.
And it drastically drops the calories, but it still tastes like lasagna.
Yeah, it's still good. So and that was the other thing I learned kind of in our health, like I'm on my health journey right now, but like, is there are good substitutes for things that you thought you know what I mean? Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know what I, you know, you don't have to have this because you can find the same, you can meet the same taste with other, you know, ingredients. I think that's another big one that I think doesn't get talked about enough is like, just it could be as simple as substituting some ingredients sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, doesn't do anything to the flavor, but it does a lot to the calories or the whatever, right?
So a great example is yogurt.
Okay.
You know, we like to travel a lot. A lot of the time, like on our my story and stuff, I'll talk about what's at the hotel breakfasts. Mm-hmm. And yogurt's a common one. Some brands, they're high protein, they're low sugar. Some of them, it's like a sugar paste. There's not even protein in it. But most mornings at home, what I do is I take the Kirkland brand fat-free Greek yogurt. It's like flavorless, high protein. But then I put a scoop of vanilla protein powder in, a spoonful of peanut butter, some blueberries, and it's delicious, but it doesn't have the sugar. It doesn't have the extra stuff.
Right.
So like yogurt's an easy one to switch out. Then there's like beef jerkies. A lot of beef jerky is actually really healthy, but there are some that have a bunch of sugar in them. So reading those labels, finding the substitutes, that little bit of extra effort can go a long way.
Yeah, to just like be, and then again, it goes back to like being aware of what you eat or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And just like looking at it. But, I like that. And so how long have you guys been in business?
So we're coming up on November will be 2 years. So the day after Thanksgiving, 2 years ago, was my very first client. It was before we had a location, before we were even like an official business. I had just gotten certified. He was a friend of mine. So that I consider that the first day of business because it was the first client.
Yeah.
But February, so a few months after that, February of 22 was when we got our location and really got started.
Whoa, man, that's crazy. So you opened a gym. What was that like? I mean, and what was the thought process for you like? Because there's a lot of gyms, there's a lot of fitness coaches. Like, what made you still believe that you could do it? Like, so, what kept you going?
So for me, what led to this was I was playing around with the idea of getting in the fitness industry for a while. You know, I was overweight for pretty much all of elementary school, middle school. Then I struggled with addiction in my teens, early 20s, got really sick, and exercise and nutrition basically cured me. My liver regenerated, so it hits close to home. And I really wanted to work in the industry, but there was a lot of fear, like the imposter syndrome. Am I good enough? Why would someone pay me? And then not wanting to work for slightly over minimum wage at a commercial gym, you know? So it was like, there was a lot of fear, but then my wife got pregnant and we decided that it was best for her to be home with our son. She wanted to be home with him. I wanted her home with him. And we needed to make more money. You know, she was overseeing construction projects and property management, and she was making really good money. So I had to make up for that. And I said, well, I've wanted to do this for a long time. I love this. She got a huge bonus right before our son was born. And we started the business. We're like, let's do something we love. There's no ceiling here. If you have a job, there's a ceiling. Your own business, you can continue to grow, and you can always give yourself a raise. You can work more. You can find new ways to add value. So what keeps me going is my wife and my son.
Yeah.
It's I want quality of life. We're going to Costa Rica in November. My wife went on her mission there and always has wanted to go back.
Oh, cool.
You know, I like to travel. I like nice things. I want my son, I don't ever want to have to tell my son no for like if he wants to go skiing or something, I don't want him to be the kid that can't afford skis.
Yeah.
So like, I really just think about my family and then my own personal wants because I have big dreams and it really keeps me going.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Because it is, you deal with like imposter syndrome and that's kind of the common denominator when I talk with business owners is like, how'd you get out of that? They were just like, I just did it.
It was out of necessity. Like, I never did.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's that expression, burn the ships.
Yeah, right.
You know, you just burn the ships and take the island. It was, I either do this or I don't. And I love helping people. And fitness and nutrition changed my life.
Yeah.
And it's like, the more people I help, the more successful I become. And I'm just like sharing my passion, sharing my love with people. So it's just,
yeah.
Like there are days where work feels like work, but most days it doesn't. Most days I just feel like I'm seeing a bunch of my friends and having fun.
Which
makes it easy too.
What's been your main like lead generation tactic? Like how do you get clients through the door?
So it started off just people we knew. You know, I've been sober almost 6 years. A lot of people came from Alcoholics Anonymous, a lot of family, friends, just people we knew. Mm-hmm. And then I started posting on Facebook and Instagram every day. My old coach told me, he's like, it doesn't matter if you think you're being annoying or whatever. He's like, just post every day. the person that sees your post today and then sees it every day for the next 6 months will be your client. Like, you know, so I started posting and kind of just experimenting. We didn't have a budget for advertising or anything like that.
Right.
And over the course of that first year, each month was better. You know, we slowly were bringing in more people, but we were having a lot of turnover. So I started doing two things in December of 2022. One was networking. I joined Connect Utah, which has been amazing for our business.
Oh, yeah.
Got involved with the Murray Chamber of Commerce. I recently got involved with BNI. So I got involved in a lot of networking groups and meeting tons of people. And by meeting so many people, my reach is, I can reach so many more people. I get referrals all the time. So it went from just like Facebook posts and word of mouth to networking.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. Networking is it. In Utah, it's pretty common, right? But like outside of Utah, it's there's a lot of networking events, but it's still underrated. I think networking is still something people don't look a lot too much anymore. Like I met a friend of mine one time. We were talking about, you know, his job and his career and stuff like that. And I was like, well, why don't you come to this thing with me, this networking event with me? And he was legitimately like, I didn't even know that those existed past college. Yeah. Like he's like, I went to like one of them in college and then that was it. And he was like, I didn't even know people did that. And I'm like, whoa, man, like this is a big deal, right? Like this is how we get it done.
I love it. And it's like, you never know who you're going to meet or who needs your services or whose services you'll need.
Yeah.
Like a lot of our referrals aren't even like, it's not even the people in the groups. Like, yes, there's a couple of people from each networking group that I work with, but most of the referrals are someone they work with or one of their relatives or their neighbor. Like someone will call me up and say, hey, my father-in-law is working on this. You know, his shoulder kind of hurts, but he wants to lose weight. Can you help? Or so it's a lot of it's that degree of separation that I wouldn't be able to reach if I didn't make those connections.
Yeah, that's cool. And are you from Utah? I see Brooklyn,
New York.
You're from Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, New York.
What brought you out here? How'd you get out here?
So I grew up in Brooklyn. And like I said, I struggled with addiction in my teens and 20s. Uh-huh. And I was in Denver for a while. Me and my best friend had a company. We promoted raves, nightclubs. We're involved in that whole world. I was in Los Angeles for a while. But then when my liver got really bad, I needed help. I needed to go to rehab. And Utah has some of the best treatment centers in the country. So
I've heard of that. Yeah.
So I came here to go to rehab. And after the 28 days, they were like, well, there's a higher success rate for the people that do the outpatient program and the sober living. And it's kind of like a 6 to 9 month step down.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Might as well do it. Like, I have serious health issues now that could kill me. I need to take this seriously. So I did their step down program. I started going back to school at SLIC. You know, my first job in Utah was, I had two jobs. I was the part-time manager of the gift shop at the Aquarium in Draper.
Oh, heck yeah.
And I was doing moving jobs. So it's like, I was doing those two things, going back to school. And, you know, I stayed out here. I started meeting more people, building a community, real relationships, real friendships. And I was like, why leave?
Yeah.
Like, it's beautiful here. Like, you know, compared to New York or California, the cost of living here is way lower.
Yeah.
You get way more space. The mountains are beautiful. I love hiking. I love being outside. I love the community feel, how service-oriented people are. It's a beautiful place. So I was like, why leave? And then I met my wife, and that kind of sealed the deal.
And
it's
that
like,
was it. Yeah,
we met her, we had the baby, we started the business.
Yeah.
And then this year, especially, the business is really starting to take off the second year. And it's like, we love it here. Why go anywhere else?
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. I love that. But coming from Brooklyn, probably wild, like culture shock.
A huge, huge difference. But it's, you know, it's a huge difference, but at the same time, people are people.
Yeah.
And good people are good people and shitty people are shitty people.
That's true. Yes.
Know? So it's like, it's more, the bigger differences are like, you know, when I first moved here, I had a lot of questions about the predominant religion in the area, you know, so, cause that was kind of new to me.
Yeah.
It was new to me. Like just people having really big backyards and like all that type of stuff.
Yeah, but in Brooklyn, that probably wouldn't happen.
And then like walking, this is funny. We always laugh about this. So we live two blocks from Smith's and we like to walk anyway. So like, you know, if we need milk for the baby or sometimes, or something, we'll walk to Smith's. And yeah. people have stopped their cars and asked us if we needed help or we were okay because they see us going for a walk as a family. So that's probably like the biggest culture shock of them all. It's like, I'm used to walking everywhere.
Yeah, you
and like, yeah. like, they're, like my grandma has never driven a car, doesn't have a driver's license because she lived in Brooklyn her whole life.
Yeah.
Walked or took the bus everywhere.
Because in Brooklyn, you can't.
Exactly. So that's like, that's definitely been a big shock to me, the just that nobody walks.
Dude, I lived in Portland and I didn't.
Maine or Oregon?
Oregon.
Oregon, yeah.
I lived in Portland and their public transit system's amazing. Like a big city public transit system's amazing.
Yep.
Because when I lived in Portland, I didn't have a car either. I just, like the bus would drop you off at school. Like I was at Portland State, drop you off at school, I'd drop you off here. Anywhere you wanted to go. And then, it was pretty close. So you could just walk around, you know, whatever. So that is really funny, dude. Yep. That's hilarious. The walking piece. But yeah, you think like, two blocks, it's not that big of a deal. Just walk.
Yeah. It's like, but it's just abnormal here. You know, people just get in their car
to go two
blocks. But it's funny because, so we do, there's this like loop we do. We tracked it. It's 4.75 miles and it's around the neighborhood. Part of it's a walking trail. Part of it's like down the different streets, but sidewalks just stop.
Yeah.
Like it's like they're there for aesthetic reasons instead of functionality. It's like halfway down the street, you'll have a sidewalk and then just stops.
Like for no reason.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, this could have kept going.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
You're like, what the freak?
And I joke with my wife. I'm like, maybe I'll get involved in local politics and get us some sidewalks. You know?
You totally could. Yeah. That's so crazy. I remember learning about this too when I was in my... I got my business degree and we were doing something about like economics in a small town. So like microeconomics in like a town. And one of the things that always promoted that they did a study on that always promoted like better support of small businesses was mm-hmm. the accessibility.
Yeah.
So like there's a reason like those bodegas in Brooklyn have been there for 30 years and they'll just pass down because like just walk there. Like it's right there. Yeah, that's the one.
You go to the corner store.
Yeah.
You know, it's, they call it European shopping is like the new term for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, in Brooklyn, there is everything you need within walking distance. You just walk to the corner, but you also don't buy groceries for the week. You buy stuff
for the day,
maybe 2 days. Cause smaller space you're living in as well.
Right. Well, and that's so funny to me too, because I have heard that as well. Yeah, they do call it European living, but like, because you would just buy bread for that day, like, and then you just go buy bread again. And that was kind of how you divvied up your grocery thing. But yeah, they did say that it also contributed to public health. Like if you can walk more and if you can do that, you know, and man, it's so wild. I think everybody wants just clickbait because I think people just get so confused with all the info out there. Like you were saying earlier, like, should you walk 10,000 steps? Then some people say it doesn't matter. If you walk 10,000 steps, then some people say don't eat this or eat this. And you're like, dude, how about... And then people get in that analysis process. They're like, I'm just going
to
do whatever.
Well, it's like I made a post the other day and it was something to the effect of fitness doesn't need to be overcomplicated. Nutrition doesn't need to be nuanced and constantly changed. If you move your body more, get 90 plus minutes of exercise a week, drink water, get enough sleep, move your body, like basic things, you will get drastic health benefits.
Yeah.
Just like almost immediately. And the mental health like doesn't get talked about enough either. Just going for a walk every day can drastically improve depression, anxiety, all kinds of issues.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that because I call it like when we have these mental health conversations, I call myself a menu guy, which is like, to say that I don't take anything off of the menu because like there's two schools of thought, right? Which is like walking does drastically support your mental health. Some people need more than walking, right? Absolutely, like some people need that. But like, if you're struggling with depression and anxiety, like I have personally in my life, and you're sitting in the basement all day with the lights off, you're not doing yourself any favors either. Like medicine can't help you at that point either. Right. Like, getting out there and just like, don't take it off the menu. Like would some people get fired up about that post or what?
No, this one went well, but it's kind of, it's interesting because with mental health, it's the same as with fitness. You know, people will come to me and say, what supplements should I take? And I'm like, you're not even like drinking water or eating food. Like, let's start
Yeah, that's fine.
You know?
My wife asked me one time, because, like, I grew up playing football and stuff, and I've never taken protein shakes or anything. And my wife got into fitness a little bit, and she wanted, like, protein and stuff. And she's like, she's like, well, what did you take in high school? I was like, I didn't. She's like, well, how'd you get your protein? I was like, I ate. Like,
Food.
Just eat food. Like, it's a protein supplement, meaning you're not getting enough in your normal diet, so you have to supplement it somewhere else. And I was like, but if you just eat enough food, like,
exactly,
like, or the right food or whatever. Yeah.
It's like, let's get the basics figured out first and then move on to the next step.
And then if you need a supplement,
exactly,
then we'll supplement.
And same with mental health. I feel like you need to make the effort.
You do have to.
I struggled with addiction. I struggled with anxiety. I struggled with a lot of that stuff. And for me, like, I take no medication, and there are some people that need it. But once I started exercising and eating better, I started feeling better. It was like pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people might not actually have as many problems as they think they do. They're just not eating healthy food. They're not sleeping enough. They're just not taking care of their bodies.
Right.
And so the body's not functioning properly.
Yeah. And we've kind of gotten away in our culture now of, like, that accountability piece, because it is so taboo to say, like, no, you can quickly improve your mental health if you walk. And then all the naysayers come in the comments. They're like, well, that's not real, and this and this and this and this. And so that's why I coined that term menu guy.
Yeah.
Because I was like, look, you might need medicine. I'm not saying you don't. I'm saying, or like fitness, right? Like, we might need to do some supplements or something like that. But but if you're not actively putting in some effort, like, protein powder won't do anything for you. It's actually not good for you if you don't do it, right? Yeah. And so it's always just funny, like, that personal accountability piece has to come in. Like, and I love, I also struggled with addiction. I've gone through the 12 steps. I think those are good steps for just life.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Like,
step one is self-awareness, basically, right?
I tell everybody, like, when you read the steps, the first step, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives had become unmanageable, is the only step that even mentions alcohol. The whole rest of it is taking an honest look at yourself, cleaning up the wreckage of your past, and helping others.
Yeah.
Like, it's really just a program of how to be a good person, how to improve your life.
Yeah. How to overcome the things that you are holding on to.
And it works for everything.
It does work for
everything. I truly believe that.
Oh, 100%. Well, and that's why, step one is, and you could even take the word alcohol or insert whatever there.
Yeah.
Step one is just self-awareness. Like, I think, have you ever read Russell Brunson's book, Recovery?
Is it the one where he redid the steps?
Yes,
like his language.
The first step was like, you're fucked.
Yep. Exactly.
That's a great, but when he rewrote those, I was like, wow, that makes it, like, that kind of destigmatizes it a little bit. Like, now just, like, because if you're dealing with food, if it's, you know, whatever, right? They're all the same. Like, or if you're just having, like, if you're trying to get out of the rut that you found yourself in life just because, right? Like, maybe you're not addicted to anything. Maybe you're just holding on to something. Like, here's how you overcome it, dude. I love those. I think everybody should have to go through that once in their life and read through it and actually do the exercises and write things down. And,
well, it's like, I think everyone has room to improve.
Yeah.
When my wife and I first met, it was probably our second and third date, we were having this, like, debate where I was like, I believe everyone has issues to some degree or another, and they're all different, and everybody has something they can improve, you know? And I really think, whether it's the steps, whether it's fitness, whether it's meditation, whether it's other programs that are out there that I'm not familiar with, I do believe that there's something for everyone that can improve, help them improve from where they're currently at, no matter how far along they are.
Yeah.
There's always self-improvement.
Yeah, well, and I think that's the paradox of self-improvement is, like, eventually you get to the point where you're like, it's kind of like maintenance. Like, I go to therapy and a lot of it is just maintenance. A lot of it's just like, I know that in order to, like, I mean, some days we go to therapy and it's just so I don't slip backwards, right? So I can just stay right here, you know what I mean? And then other days you're moving forward. And I think that's kind of the paradox, like I mentioned, of self-improvement, which is you never get there, but you need to work on it.
Yeah. And then there's new areas, you know? For me, at first it was my physical health, you know, addiction, overcoming that stuff. Then it was going back to school. How do you be a student when you've been out of school for a long time?
Yeah.
Then how do you be a husband? How do you be a business owner? How do you be a father? How do you figure out how to make enough time for your family and still enough money to provide? You know, there's always new questions that come up and new things to improve, which honestly, that's the fun of it all. Like, I really think overcoming the challenges, finding new ones, just overcoming things brings me so much joy. And I enjoy the fight. I enjoy the journey.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's why, you know, you're successful is like, if your love is in the journey and in the getting better every day, I think then I think what's that quote? He's like the man who loves walking will walk further than the man who loves the destination.
Yeah. Cause you get to the destination and then it's okay. Now what? Well, at least that's how I am.
Well, yeah, you know? No. And that's one of my favorite quotes in life is chop wood, carry water. So the full quote is, you know, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. Like, right. Like the walk, like you got here. And so you're now like, okay. But if you missed all of the learning that happened in getting to the finish line, the finish line didn't mean anything. Right.
Exactly.
So yeah, before enlightenment. Yeah. I love chop wood, carry water. It's like the things that got you here are the things that will get you to the next point and keep you going. Right. Like you never lose the basics. Right. Like
exactly.
You, 2 + 2 doesn't become irrelevant when you're studying calculus.
Nope, it's the foundation.
Yeah, exactly. Like you have to keep that going.
And then another cool part is once you reach a certain destination, then you can help others. And I find like my whole business is helping others, but even in aspects where I'm not getting paid, I love helping others.
Yeah.
Like we did a ribbon cutting event a few months back. It was when we rebranded. We were originally Changes with Charles, but that doesn't give credit to anybody but me. And also for somebody that doesn't know the company, it's like, what the hell does that mean? So we rebranded to Changes Health and Fitness.
Yeah.
And our event, we had close to 100 people. We had all kinds of good stuff. We gave away prizes. We had the city council there. It was like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So then I had somebody reach out to me and say, hey, I'm opening a new office. How do I do that?
Yeah.
And it was like, it was so fun, like sharing that information with him. It's like, okay, well, if you want a lot of people to show up, you have to have free food. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's a guarantee you'll get some people. But just walking him through that process. And then like part of AA is sponsoring people. Like after you go through the steps, taking others through the steps. And it's, I find that when I help other people to reach a goal that I've already reached, I learn even more from teaching than I did from the original experience. It's pretty cool.
Well, and what's that crazy statistic I heard one time that like, there's 12 steps and the people who don't complete step 12, which is help because essentially what the 12 steps you could, if you didn't have that 12th one, and this is to get to my point, but like essentially you overcome that in the first 11, like theoretically you've gone through all the work and the 12th step is just like it could be looked at by a cynic as like, well, okay. Well, yeah, I'll just help somebody, I guess. Like we just need to make it even, right? But like if you don't complete step 12, your chances of relapse are like astronomical.
Oh, it's huge. When you see people will get they will reap the rewards of recovery. The 9-step promises they talk about in the big book, they start receiving all these good things in their life and they say, okay, I'm cured.
Right, yeah, exactly.
They're like, I don't need it anymore. And then they stop showing up and they stop helping others. And then you lose that sense of community, which is a huge part as well, because all of a sudden you're isolated, you're back in the world, you're not really looking at it anymore. But then the satisfaction, there's a real high from helping somebody else, from seeing the lights come on and like seeing them figure out, oh, wait, I don't have to live that way. Helping somebody get through that 4th and 5th step where they take that personal inventory and you talk about all the ugliness and helping them get through to the other side. And then the amends, like step 8 and 9, when you write the list of all the people you harmed and then try to go out and make it right. Like that is a scary step, but it is so powerful. And helping people walk through that, like it, I love it.
Yeah. It's because you need people to walk through it. But that was the whole point is like, if you don't do that, it doesn't matter. The whole 11 steps you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, they helped you. I don't want to say they didn't mean anything, but it almost is like, what was it good for if you didn't, Yeah, if you don't give back and like
to carry the message.
Yeah, yep. and like work with each other. And I say that a lot in when I teach lessons at my church. Mm-hmm. We talk about service and I remind people like it, the reason it's so important to do this is because one, you get healed in mm-hmm. steps 1 through 11. You overcome it, but it doesn't mean anything if you can't help somebody, if you don't give that back, if you don't lift others where you can, and you don't do that. Like it,
and then helping others, it keeps us accountable.
Right.
Like I know, like in the gym, like I do this for a living and I love fitness. You know, I switched from bodybuilding into powerlifting. My current goal is I want to deadlift 500 pounds before the end of the year. But there are times where I'm just like, I don't want to work out. I don't want to eat, right? Like, you know, we all have those days. Yeah. But then I'm like, there are people that depend on me and I'm teaching them and I'm guiding them.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would I be if I didn't walk the walk? So it's like by helping others, it keeps me accountable on my own journey too, which right. is really cool.
Which is super beautiful. And that's so true. I mean, that goes, and I love, I mentioned that recovery book uh-huh. because I like it. I apply some of those things to business too. Like, yeah. Oh, you're in a rut in business. Let's see where on the thing we're at right now. Like, do we need to take a personal inventory yeah. of what we've done up to this point so far? Do we need to write everything? Oh yeah, dude. Like, cause I think a part of that too is just like, I believe in karma, like that spirit of karma, right? Or like mm-hmm. that what goes around comes around kind
absolutely,
of thing.
Yeah.
And so like I wrote a little ebook called The 10 Laws of Sales one time. Mm-hmm. And the first law, I believe the first law of sales is the law of sales is don't skip the lemonade stand. Mm-hmm. And it's just for no other reason other than like every summer I make sure that I have cash in my wallet. Cause if I see a lemonade stand,
yep.
it's a $20 bill and it's warm lemonade and then, you know, a crumbly cookie, but like, mm-hmm. it's that spirit of like the, and so
it's wanting to encourage it. Yep,
yeah. Yeah. You're just like, if you give, it'll all come back. And I think that's the same with fitness. I think it's life. I think it's all that.
Well, yeah. I saw a post. It was like a meme the other day and it was, or a story. It was talking about how there was a kid and he would watch his dad buy things he didn't need from businesses that were like new businesses or people that were struggling. And the son asked the father, he's like, why do you do that? We don't need these things. And the father said, it's charity wrapped in dignity. And I was like, that, you know, that like made sense. That like hit me. It's like, you know, instead of just saying like, oh, let me help you out. It's like buy somebody's product, help them get started.
Right. Yeah.
Cause and that, like, it's like, you know how it is, you get that sale and then it's like, okay, I did it. I can do another one. I can get it, you know, it sets the ball rolling.
Yeah. That's the best time. There's a quote called, you know, and it goes, the best time to make a sale is right after you made the first one.
Yep. It's true. Like, it's absolutely
like,
true.
Don't stop, man. Like, and that's, I apply that to everything. Like the best time to eat healthy is right after you eat healthy the first time.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and the best, and you know, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, but I love this idea that like, what's the best plan for fitness, for business, for sales? Like, the best plan is the one you're going to stick to.
Mm-hmm. It's true. 100%. And like with me for sales, like, you know, pretty much all businesses you're doing sales.
Right.
But I try not to be a salesman. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
Not that it's not high pressure. I assume if you come to me, you want my service.
Right.
But my first question is, how can I help?
Yeah.
And I find out where that person's pain is and I help them find a solution.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I was given the piece of advice by a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He said, go into every sale looking to make a friend.
Yeah.
And I found that approach when I go in, no stress, I'm going to go make a new friend. It goes so smooth. I either get the sale or can point them in the right direction. Cause if I'm not the right fit, I'll send somebody somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, right.
But it's like when I go in with that attitude, it always goes smoothly regardless of the outcome. Yeah. But if I'm like stressed, like, when I first started and it's like, if I didn't get these sales, like bills weren't getting paid or it was like, I'd go in stressed and I wouldn't get the sale because I was so stressed.
Right. Well, that is because the human brain doesn't know the difference between distress and like, okay. So it's like a good example of this is like, you ever walk up to a snake and then your parents are like, no, the dog or the snake, it's more scared of you than you are of it. right? That's what happens. Like, so when, if we're walking up scared to a dog, the dog doesn't know if I'm scared or if I'm trying to hurt him.
Exactly.
So it's going to
notice the heightened energy.
Yeah. And so like, that's why I tell people like, I just tell them that you're new. Like, yeah. What? No, just tell them that like, this is your first sale and you don't know what you're doing and you'll probably end up getting it. And
I love that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're like, wow, that's so counterintuitive. But if you put it out there, like, hey, I am going to like fumble around with my words. I'm new. I don't know what I'm doing. So like, be patient with me. Mm-hmm. If you tell that to people, they're going to be patient with you and they're not going to, that fight or flight in their brain isn't going to trigger and they're going to listen to you. Right. Yeah. Like, But yeah, it's that the human brain doesn't know the difference between if you're trying to hurt it or if you're nervous. Just like a dog doesn't know if you're nice or not, right? So everybody's on edge. But then you do something like a pattern interrupt to tell the dog, like, oh no, I'm good. Yeah. Like, give it a treat or so. Yeah.
Because we're all new at some point.
I love the idea of staying a student.
It's always someone's first day. There's always something, you know what I mean? There's always something new.
Yeah. And so
we've all been there.
I know. And I always give this free piece of sales advice to people. Most of my advice is free, but I always tell people like, if you want to trip your sales right away, like give a shit about somebody else.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine. Like if all you did was that, you don't need anything else and you'll be fine. Like you, right? Yeah. Like, if you just go make a new friend, I think you'll be fine, dude. Like, and then if you want to learn some of the other little tips and tricks, like that'll just pour gas on the fire. But if you forget that your goal is to be empathetic with others and to like walk a mile in their shoes. If you forget that, all of my tips and tricks after that aren't going to work.
Exactly. Yep.
You know what I mean? So, well, dude, I appreciate your time being here Absolutely. With me, man.
Thanks for having me.
100%. Tell everybody where they can follow you, where your gym is, all that good stuff.
Okay. So I'm Charles Piggott, owner of Changes Health and Fitness. You can find us online at changesfit.com. Find us on Facebook, Changes Health and Fitness. Charles Piggott on Facebook, Charles Piggott on Instagram. So yeah, heck find yeah. us, follow us, and let me know how I can help.
Let's go. Thank you, Charles.
Absolutely.